So welcome to Irrational Moms. We're coming to you from your favorite neighborhood, MILF Estates, where we don't allow certain moms into our neighborhood if they belong to secret Facebook groups where they like to talk trash about us. And if you do, we're going to pull your HOA card. So today is really exciting because we have a special episode for you guys. We have a special guest. He's an attorney with RMW Law. Rice Muhammad is here and he's going to talk to us about all things defamation. And we're going to talk about all things defamation. And especially there's this one case that I actually kind of find really interesting. There's this guy out of Chicago that he has been subjected to the secret Facebook group where it's called Are We Dating the Same Guy, I think. And yes. He's suing 27 different women for allegedly like saying bad things about him. So we want to know, like, is that true or not? Because I mean, I think we're all like, we've been subjected to some of these Facebook groups. So ladies, if you're watching and you want to say bad things about us, pay attention.
Or men, because I mean, we're never dating 27 different guys, but they might think we are because of all the scammers. So... you know,
true. I don't know. I shouldn't be in these groups because it's very toxic sometimes, but also think it's very entertaining. Not because I'm worried about my man being in there, but because it's just like, I don't know. It's interesting to see some of these stories. I always feel bad for some of these women. I think they have every right to warn other people, but yeah, I don't know where the line
right. is. And I don't think anybody really knows, right? Because people yell slander, defamation about anything, and usually yeah. it isn't that. So
yeah,
I think it's good to know. I don't even know if I know fully.
Yeah. So do you want to, maybe we open it up by you telling us the difference between like, what is considered defamation?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's defamation 101. So basically without getting too complicated, a statement is defamatory if it is capable of being proven true or false. So you have to be stating a false fact. Opinions don't count. Puffery doesn't count. Things that are subjective that you can't tangibly explain don't count, right? So a great example is if I accuse somebody of fraud. Fraud in the civil sense is something we can prove. We can prove if you deceived somebody. Or in heightened cases, what we call defamation per se, accusing somebody of having an STD. Clearly something you can prove or not. Very, very commonly thrown around. This girl's a slut. She gave me herpes, right? Or vice versa. This guy's this, you know, dirty man whore. He gave me herpes. very common allegation. That actually four categories of defamation fall into defamation per se. Okay. And this is pretty much uniform in all 50 states. The first one is, and there's no order to this, but one of the first is the one I just mentioned, where you accuse someone of having what the statute actually says is a loathsome disease. Okay,
so, like HIV. There's a case in the news recently where a woman accused a guy of it, put him on blast on social media. He went and got tested and was like, I don't have this. She's a liar.
Yeah.
And now he wants to sue her. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Loathsome disease, HIV, gonorrhea, herpes, I mean, hepatitis, you go down the list, right? Sexually transmitted diseases, venereal diseases. Accusing somebody, the second category, accusing somebody in their profession of being professionally incompetent. So accusing a doctor of medical malpractice, accusing a lawyer of legal malpractice. Things that, it's usually in licensed professions, but an accusation that basically if you read it, it makes you believe that that professional is just incompetent, unfit for their job, right? The third common category is accusing someone of a crime. So this person is moving amphetamines for a living. They're not really an influencer. This person, you know, raped me, committed sexual assault. That's a big one, by the way. The reverse Me Too and also Me Too. We could talk for hours about that. The fourth category is, believe it or not, even though we already have a category for accusing someone of having a loathsome disease, there's a specific category of accusing a woman of being unchaste. That one we see less today.
I did not know that.
What?
Wow.
So
we got a case against everyone, basically.
Yeah, right. I mean, no, but you do see lawsuits, right? Where, and look, this is an archaic law where it was a really big deal. I feel like it's not a big deal nowadays if someone says, oh, this girl's a whore. maybe you guys disagree with me, and even vice versa, man whore, but there's specifically a fourth category dedicated to accusing a woman of being unchaste. That's what the statutes say. So those are your four categories. Do with them, what you will.
How is that? That one's interesting to me because how is it provable or not? Like, that's a harder one, right? Or no?
Vaginal exam. No, I'm kidding. I don't know how you prove it.
I was like, what?
I'm
so gullible.
Technically, if a woman was accused of, if somebody says, look, I took this girl's virginity and she felt like that ruined her reputation in a conservative community, and she said, I can't get a date, or, I can't get an arranged marriage, or I can't, whatever the situation is, because you claim to have popped my cherry, so to speak, that legitimately could be defamatory.
That's a problem for women in conservative religions, especially.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it would be a problem to them if,
100%. 100%.
So one of the ones that you mentioned about like accusing somebody of rape and then they didn't actually do it, because I feel like there's a lot of crazy women out there right now. Sorry, but there are, that like just want to accuse people. It's like always an athlete or something, and it just completely tears down their name, and then it comes out that they haven't done anything wrong, or they dropped the case or whatever. You never see those people getting sued. And in my mind, I was like, why? There's got to be something that could be done, because you can't just ruin somebody's reputation. And
or they could be, you just don't hear about it.
Like the Bills punter is a really good example, because it was so public and he literally lost the NFL job.
Yeah.
Like, I totally want to believe women, but he literally didn't do that. So I'm like, how do you get to ruin someone's whole life with no consequence? I mean, to me, that is astonishing. And it leads me, like with my daughter, I talk to her about how to stay safe. With my son, I talk about how consent's important, and also don't trust women in certain ways, like unfortunately.
Well, it's interesting. This is a really, really interesting topic, because I deal with it a lot. I turn down a lot of these cases because if I can't grip what actually happened, I can't represent you as a plaintiff. And I'm usually the plaintiff side. I'm the guy who's chasing after people and helping victims, right? So I'll give you many examples where I legitimately feel a guy didn't do anything unlawful. Okay. He didn't do anything unlawful, never mind sexual assault. The problem is, you got to view this from the eyes of the law. From the viewpoint of a jury, and from the viewpoint of evidence that gets presented to a room full of independent people that are relatively not smart. I'm sorry to say that. By the time juries shake out, you get below average Joe.
We know the type.
Yeah.
So, the people that are voting.
And getting scammed on the internet.
Right. So, I've had cases and where a guy has slapped a girl on the behind in what he thought was a playful way. This is a girl that's staying at his house. They're not having sex, but she's staying at his house. They're traveling together. They're eating together. They're not sleeping together, but they're under the same roof and watching a football game. Hey, 49ers made a touchdown, smack on the booty kind of thing. And girl stays around. Okay. Has the ability to leave. She's not locked. She's not chained. A month later comes back and says, I was sexually assaulted. Now,
this sounds like a mini Trevor Bauer situation.
Right. Well, what's the definition of sexual assault? Now let's take a step back. Sexual assault, like when we hear it, means could be rape, right? We think penetration, something happened, oral or some penetration of something, or at least skin to skin or something. But it turns out that from a legal purist standpoint, sexual assault really means an assault is an unwanted touching, sexual of a sexual nature. Think about that. If I smack you on the butt uninvited, and by the way, uninvited is subjective. It can change. Maybe today it was it's invited and tomorrow it wasn't. And so I get the benefit of hindsight saying, I kind of liked it at the time, but now that I think back, I didn't really like it, and that you assaulted me, and it's of a sexual nature. So that's sexual assault. So girls go on TikTok. This is the trend. Go on TikTok. This is my sexual assault story. Millions of views. guy's face is plastered, one date maybe, or whatever. And he's done. He is done. So he comes to me, dude, this is not what it seems like. I've had cases where arms brush against a breast. Somebody's, you know, arm brushes against a thigh. I mean, I've seen all of these cases, and it is scary what people get away with. So now you come to me as a defamation lawyer. I'm looking at it as, okay, we're not in criminal court. It's a preponderance standard, 51% more likelihood. That's all that we have to prove to win our case. That's also what they have to prove to prevail in their defense. So is there an unwanted touching of a sexual nature? How do I prove it was unwanted? Do I have a chain of emails or texts that say we're banging? Like what do I have to go off of that's evidence? I get these cases, you know, and I have these hard conversations, and celebrity level people who sit across from me in my office, I'm like, dude, you've got a problem, man. And so, you know, people ask me jokingly, you know, Rice, what's the solution? And I'm like, videotape everything. Just videotape.
I'm kidding. Have a nanny cam in your front room.
Don't do that. That's not legal advice.
Sign a consent form. You got to sign a consent form for me to pat you on the butt.
Yeah. No. I. It's really scary. What happens? You know, and if you're suing for defamation over an allegation of that, you need to give me something that I can hang my hat on or hook into that says no, there was consent. What is that? Our burden is, yeah, the plaintiff has the burden.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. If you have, say, take the Trevor Bauer case. I mean, I think he's a dirtbag. I'm in no way defending him, to be clear. However, this woman videoed herself smiling in his bed the next morning while he's passed out asleep. So I'm like, and the text proved that there was consent, even though, yeah, now she says it went too far. But how does he not have a case against her, or does he? I mean, I'm just curious. Like, I know we don't know everything, but what we do know, it seems very clear that she set him up.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they settle the civil, like the defamation lawsuit, right? So we don't know exactly what happened, but correct. I mean, you're correct. If you're laying next to somebody, like, how does it look to us? To us, it looks like, really? I mean, what happened that was unwanted and uninvited when you're laying under the sheets with this guy naked? I mean, come on.
Right.
But you're, as a guy, and we could flip it and say girl, but the hypothetical is a guy. This is a real case.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to hate on women, but this is just a case that's very public.
It's a real case. And we just don't know. We don't know if he tried to put something in her, tried to do something in her, rub her, and she just said, I just want to sleep, and maybe I'm wearing something, you know, some lingerie. We just don't know. We really don't know.
Just wearing something too sexy. Don't touch me.
And this goes,
put your clothes on and get out of the house, woman. Come on.
I think this goes to the what the case is I wanted to discuss. Back to this guy in Chicago. And this is what scares me having like all sons, is that I wonder, and this is, I think, a valid concern. It's like, and I tell him all the time, like, I feel like, what's going to happen? Like when you do, like, I don't know, break up with a girl in high school or college or as a young adult, and she's pissed because you broke up with her, you didn't text her back, you kind of just blew her off, and now she's gonna just raise her hand and be like, oh, I was assaulted. And it's like, well, hold up. You're just saying that because you want to get back at him, or you want to go on TikTok and make him out to be a villain. And it's like, there's got to be some consequences to these women that you just can't go around smashing, you know, or defaming somebody, ruining somebody's life because you feel like, you know, women, because we listen to women, we always assume that they are the victim. But why can't it be that the men are the victim? Because women, we know, they can be underhanded, lie, they are very manipulative. So, and they will make up lies just to make themselves feel better about the situation.
I have had cases, I mean, you're talking about dating and teenagers and so forth, right? But I have had cases with married couples that they're falling apart, and the accusation of assault is made, and that he forced me to have sex with him. I did not want to have sex with him. I wanted a divorce. And where do you draw the line on that? There was sex, there was penetration, there was touching, and she's claiming after the fact that it was non-consensual. She felt mentally pressured to keep him happy, to stay under the roof because he's rich. I couldn't be on the street. I felt like I had to do it. I hear these stories and I'm like, I don't know that I can do anything for you. It's scary. It's scary because I have to subscribe my name to that too, right? I have to cherry pick what I take.
Don't you also think that it's important for women to, as we're raising girls, to grow up, use your voice, you know, have agency over your own self. Don't feel pressured into doing something. Because I know for sure, there's a lot of cases in the gray area. So it's also like, well, you know, if you are screaming and they're still doing it, obviously that's clear. But if you're just staying because you feel like you should just be quiet and get it over with, that's, you got to speak up, right? Or I don't know that it counts.
100, you make a very good point, which is, you know, how to get yourself out of that situation so that you don't have to have the regret or the dissonance that happens after the fact. Like, what was I thinking? You know, and this is one of the reasons why I don't subscribe to the party culture. Notwithstanding all the cool cases I deal with, I'm a pretty, you know, chill guy in my personal life. I don't go to crazy parties. I get invited to the craziest things. I don't go to these things because I don't know what's going to happen there. Unless every single person signed an NDA, I'm not going to be there, right?
I agree.
Yeah, no, it's just a fact. If you are in a situation where something like that can happen, you're asking for it if you haven't protected yourself. When I say you're asking for it, what I'm saying is you're asking for problems. And I absolutely 100% men and women need to be educated on how to say no, when to say no, how to get out of situations, how not to get into situations. And today's culture, we're hypersexualized to begin with. Like, you can't have a cup of coffee with someone without thinking, I'm trying to get in your pants. It goes both ways.
We're just getting awake first with the coffee.
It's hypersexualized and overly sensitive, and they just, it like clashes so bad.
Yeah. Right. Okay, let's pivot back over to this case. Okay. So I know you probably went through and read about it. So give us your, you know, legal advice on what do you see about this case, about this guy who's suing these 27 women for this illegal or for the secret Facebook group?
So let me preface this by saying, so as a lawyer, you know, I'm very critical of lawsuits because I get to be, I'm a lawyer. This is what I do for a living. I've been doing this for 14 years. I don't want to talk trash on lawyers, but they did file a public document and it's subject to criticism because it's litigation. I like to think of this as the scale, what I call the dog shit scale. Let's just break this down. Right? The dog shit scale.
I like it already.
Rais's version and way of measuring how good or bad your case is. So on one extreme end, we have, I don't know, Chihuahua turds, right? You could flick them and they disappear, like not a big deal.
Oh, I was another, like, wait, what?
another extreme is like, I don't know, Saint Bernard crap, right? Like, okay. I don't know. When I think of a big dog shit, I think Saint Bernard. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just,
yeah.
This lawsuit, this is my unfiltered, honest opinion. This lawsuit is dinosaur. It's not even in the dog scale. It's dinosaur. It's not, it's not well put together. It's just not. I'm sorry. I feel bad for Nico Ambrosio, like for a millisecond. And then I really don't feel bad for him because
he sounds like a big crybaby.
He sounds like a privileged, you know, like gigantic crybaby. I looked at his picture. I read the text messages. Anybody can read the text messages that he's suing over. I shouldn't say text, but the Facebook posts.
Comments. Yeah.
Okay. And this guy is just a little bitch. He just really. I was thinking of the legal terminology, and I'm like, you know what? Your podcast listeners are going to appreciate this so much more if I keep it real. He's just a little bitch. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
so we agree on what this looks like, is what you're saying. Regular people can suss this out without having a law degree.
Dude, if someone accuses you of being clingy, that's not defamation. If you have hurt feelings because somebody says you're clingy, you probably are clingy.
Right. You might be borderline personality disordered, but.
here's the funny thing about this, okay? I haven't dissected the entire lawsuit surgically like I would if I was defending or if I was prosecuting this case, right? If I was plaintiff side. But to me, the first thing that jumps out at me is, look at this list of girls. How many of them did you have personal interactions with? How many of them are just stating opinions? Remember, we talked about, to be defamation, it has to be a statement of fact.
Right.
Okay. Among other elements, right? He doesn't even meet that prong. I don't think even that initial prong of a false statement of fact. The other problem with this lawsuit, so just to give you your listeners like a high level, right? So this guy's filing a lawsuit over, you know, like 30 defendants because he feels that on this platform, are we dating the same guy, that these girls are going ham and ruining his reputation. He's seeking some absurd figure in damages, right? I don't remember if it's $75 million or $5 million, something crazy. God.
Either way.
And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you guys knew this. He files this lawsuit, okay? In 5 seconds of looking at the complaint, I can see the dog shit. It's very clear. I can, 5 seconds. And I'll tell you exactly, for any of your listeners who are lawyers, I'll tell you exactly what the dog shit is. But the even funnier part is, I looked at this and I said, he didn't even plead something as basic as jurisdiction correctly. It's the first 5 paragraphs of his complaint. Jurisdiction is not pled correctly. How is he in federal court? I checked the docket, which shows what's going on in the case. The case got dismissed the first time he filed. He filed the case twice. First time he
in
filed.
In federal court the first time as well?
In federal court, you need to have, he alleged what's called diversity jurisdiction. He's saying nobody lives in the same.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Is diversity. Yet in the complaint, he's pleading that they're all domiciled in Illinois. So how that happened, he missed it. The court was like, you can't do this. The court actually threw the guy a bone. I've litigated in Northern District, in Illinois federal court before. Very good judges. The judge threw him a bone and said, look, if you have a class action, potentially you could get over this issue. What does he do? The same day he filed lawsuit two, or his lawyers filed lawsuit two, changed it to a class, saying that, and remember, class is the plaintiff's side.
He's only saying one. How can he?
Exactly. He's saying there are many people in my situation who are getting dogged online and hurt feelings and small nuts, and we need to get our, you know, and so it's just terrible. Here's the other big dog shit part of this. He's sued Facebook and all of Facebook's holding companies and Insulin, which is comical.
Good luck with that, buddy.
Yep.
Again, for everyone listening, you cannot sue Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, name any online platform, Reddit. You can't sue them for other people's statements. It's been federal law.
Right.
For decades. It's called Section 230, Communications mm-hmm. Decency Act.
Oh, we know a lot about that.
Well, we know. I don't know if our listeners know that.
Oh, I didn't mean to make you stop saying it. I was just...
No. But the point is, that statute's actually arguably applicable to the Facebook group itself, never mind the bigger picture Facebook. Right. So even the admins can't be sued for other people's comments. I'm looking at this complaint. I'm like, somebody who's a defendant, hire me on this case so I can get this case slapped and get you your attorney's fees and you can make some money on it. Because that's what I would do. And I think there's a greater likelihood than not. And it's, I don't know if any of these lawyers, any of these defendants have lawyered up and filed anything. So far, I didn't see. But I would love to just bite into this lawsuit, get this smacked, make this guy look like a complete idiot.
So you know, maybe you should explain there's anti-slap and slap law too, right? Or it's an argument that you can make when someone actually defames you or puts a case against you, right? So maybe you should explain what that is. So
yes, and I've been on both sides of this. And to be frank, I've had one case in my career dismissed based on anti-slap. So I'm very familiar with it. Let's talk about anti-slap. It's easier this way. Anti-slap is just an acronym, right? SLAP, strategic lawsuits against public participation. Fancy way of saying you are suing me to silence me on an issue of public concern. That's all that means. So in order to fall into the anti-slap defense, it's a defense motion, it has to be something that's protected free speech, okay? Now, most states have anti-SLAPP rules, statutes. Not every anti-SLAPP statute is the same. In Arizona, for example, we amended ours about a year ago, year and a half ago. It has more teeth. Before, anti-SLAPP only applied if you were literally petitioning to the government for something, and during that petition, you were defamed. Most popular cases, if you're at a zoning board hearing and somebody says, you know, your bar is really a whorehouse and you don't get zoning to have a liquor license, etc. That is an example of where you could not sue over that because it's happening during the process of petitioning the government, okay? The anti-SLAPP we're talking about here is when people make statements that are public opinion, which is free speech, issues of public concern, which is protected speech, other statements that are not, you know, based in fact that have some public interest, okay? In those cases, in statutes that have that language, anti-SLAPP has a lot of teeth, very, very strong. California is probably the number one in the country. Nevada is number two, right? New York is probably number three. Florida is also really good. Other states are relatively weak. Like Michigan's is not that strong. So my point is, if I was a defendant and I'm being sued, if I'm an admin, I am saying, first of all, I'm not the speaker. I'm not the publisher. I gain protection because I'm just an admin in this group. I didn't even say anything. And that alone is a sufficient defense. Facebook has a very strong defense. I mean, you don't need to do hardly any research. You could go to Google and just say suing Facebook. And the first link is probably my law firm. We'll say Section 230. So none of these platforms are going to get dinged. The lawyers did like a good sophomore attempt to maneuver around it. It's facially defective. You know, it's just not going to work.
Well, I think he just got a lawyer that just wanted some money. It's a money grab, right? For the lawyer. Just well, like, hey, I'll take your money if you want to sue. Because you can sue anybody.
Or
for
is
anything.
The lawyer think he's onto something and he's not paying? He's doing it pro bono. That's
well, I mean,
wonder.
But also I'm like, then you don't understand Section 230 and you don't understand the First Amendment. Or I think it goes back to where it's like they have the right to say certain things as long as they're not defaming somebody, right?
Right.
And so I think it's like he just got a lawyer that just was like, fine, I'll take your money and we'll sue whatever.
Well, my question, I have a question that sort of ties into what Crystal just said and what you said also. I understand that in this case, the social media platform is covered under Section 230. Are the actual women, the admins of the group that you mentioned, are they also covered under that? Or is that only apply to the companies?
Very good question. So there's a little nuance there. The admins of the group, arguably we could analogize Facebook and the actual group to be the same. So All of the admins should arguably get Section 230 protection in addition to anti-SLAPP protection. The key thing here is, unless the exception, of course, is if the admins are writing something that's defamatory, You're not insulated just because you're an admin of a group.
Right. But just by admining the group and maybe liking a comment or something, they're protected. As long as they're not participating in actual defamation, correct?
I agree. Okay. I agree. And I have these cases where people come to me and the admins, sometimes it's a little gray. You know, they are commenting and they might be acting in furtherance or republishing things like that are old and saying, oh, bringing this back. There's some gray area, but this is not gray area. Like in the lawsuit, show me something false that's a statement of fact that actually damaged your reputation.
Right.
I don't see it.
The dating 25 women is what damaged your reputation.
Yeah. You know, I want to tell you something. You're going to laugh. I don't know if you guys know this. Literally, you can't make this up. A week after this guy filed this lawsuit, he was found guilty of tax fraud. He was prosecuted.
Oh my God.
The guy was convicted. That means it went before a jury.
Oh my God.
So he arguably is a convicted felon.
Right. He's already a criminal. And then he's filing this dumbass lawsuit.
A federal jury convicted this guy of tax evasion, which allegedly occurred in 2019 and 2020. for lying on tax returns. This is even funnier. Again, you can't make this up. Where he claimed that he made as little as $4,000 in a particular year, when he documents show he made over $300,000 with a company called MACT LLC. You can look this up, which specializes in sweepstake machines. I don't even know what a sweepstake machine is. That like a, oh
is that like the lotto buttons you push, like the slot machines and like, stuff?
Like, this, no, that's like, those are lotto machines.
What the hell does that even mean?
Here's the cherry on top. The cherry on top is these sweepstake machines, like this line of business, has a historical connection to the Chicago mob. Okay. So this guy is plaintiff number one, saying you hurt my feelings and my reputation.
Right.
This is a face smack. It's really and his lawyer in that
better.
Again, here's another cherry on top.
So embarrassing. His lawyer,
it's terrible. His lawyer in that other case, his criminal defense lawyer. His argument to the jury was, in a nutshell, this was not on purpose. This was stupidity. He literally told the jury that he's stupid because it has to do with trying to de-emphasize intent to defraud the IRS.
You could be stupid too, but I mean.
So moral of the story on this lawsuit.
You can't damage his reputation, right? Because it's already done.
That's an argument. Now, I don't know how much further you could be in the gutter on this one, but
right.
You know, show me real harm, right? And again, if I was reading statements that said, look, this guy gave me an STD, I would be saying something different. I would still say you can't sue Facebook, you can't sue admins, but at least there's some teeth on there, you know?
So there's nothing on there that they were actually defaming him. There is all a matter of opinion.
I don't see anything.
They feel like he's a certain way.
Yeah.
Which is still their opinion, right?
Yeah. And their opinion is based on
their opinion,
personal experience, sitting across the table, having a drink or having, you know, being in dinner, or I wouldn't sleep with this guy. One of the girls did sleep with him on the first date, you know, and she made a comment. And I don't see how it meets the criteria of defamation. I just I'm not seeing it. And
so I wanted to ask, can you explain now also, I think we have a good understanding of defamation now, but can you explain the difference in slander and defamation and like what, because you hear that thrown around a lot too. And then I know there's a difference, right, for public figures versus non-public figures?
There's kind of two versions of defamation. So under defamation, there's two branches.
Okay.
Slander is one. Slander is just spoken words that are defamatory.
Okay.
Libel is written words. That's the only difference.
Okay.
They both follow the
same. They're both defamation.
They're both defamation, okay. Same elements, same burden of proof, same everything.
Okay.
Most of the cases that I deal with are libel. I don't deal with somebody said this unless it's recorded and it's broadcasted somewhere. The public figure one is interesting. So public figure defamation is basically this. If I am suing somebody else and I am a public figure, we'll talk about what that means. My burden of proving defamation goes from a negligence standard. Usually, you know, it's a negligence standard. You have to show that a reasonable person wouldn't have said this. You know, you breach the reasonable person standard. It jumps to malice. You have to show malice. And
that they have ill intent, basically.
I'm laughing because what you said about malintent is exactly what Amber Heard's lawyer argued to the jury in her closing arguments in the Johnny Depp defamation trial. It's totally wrong. Mm-hmm. Totally wrong. Totally totally a sophomore green behind the ear argument, right?
Right.
Malice actually means knowledge of falsity or reckless disregard for the truth. So if you are a public figure and you are claiming that you were defamed, you need to show that the other side said something knowing that it was false. You have receipts.
Okay.
And they had receipts and they knew it, they said it. Or, you know, when you say reckless disregard for the truth, what does that legal mumbo jumbo actually mean? Well, what it actually means is that they had some entertainment of, they were entertaining doubts. They're not sure. And you can show, right. Hey, you know, I'm not really sure about this, but boom. And you don't really have proof of your statement. Right. So
okay.
The higher standard makes sense too. Cause it's like, if you're a public figure, you're putting yourself in the spotlight. And right. Again, rookie lawyers get this wrong, who don't play in the space. They think that just because you might be popular, maybe you're not like celebrity, you're not A-list, okay? But maybe you're popular in a particular crowd. Maybe you're a popular OnlyFans model, for example.
So are we public figures is my question to you.
Well, so in certain contexts, you might be. But in other contexts, you may not be. So public figure, there's a subtle nuance. There's another sort of step down gradient, what we call a limited purpose public figure. A good analogy would be, let's say you're a doctor with a national recognition, board certified, nationally accredited. You speak at all these conferences on plastic surgery. So for purposes of your reputation in that industry, in that circle, you might be a limited purpose public figure. Compared to maybe a doctor who's on Botched on Netflix, a hugely popular Netflix series where he's talking about botched surgeries and he's putting himself out there. He's probably popular enough to be considered a public figure for all purposes.
Okay. So then take one of our, say us, for example. So this man thinks this is just common. He's been scammed by us. He goes on the internet and tells everyone that we're scammers. And obviously most of the time they're dumb and they don't really know they're wrong. Right. So in my mind, that doesn't count as anything. Then where I wonder if it changes is if you've presented evidence that it wasn't you. And then they're in that area where they're regarding the truth, like the reckless disregard or whatever. Would that count as anything or no? And I mean, we're obviously not suing people for this. I'm just curious because I don't fully know.
What's funny is there are good analogies to this, which is the case of mistaken identity.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, this guy's a pedophile. I've seen this case. This guy's a pedophile. Look, here's his mugshot. Not the same guy. You just put right. him out there.
Right.
if you are a news agency, you might get away with that, okay? Because of the protections, because of the malice standard, because news mm-hmm. agencies get the heightened protection because they're news, period.
And then they have to just post a retraction or a corrective statement,
a retraction.
Right?
And again, depending on the context, there might be a case there for injury. But right. to your point, if somebody's accusing you of being a scammer and it's not you, period, that could be a decent case. Usually, when somebody just says the word scam, it's not enough for me. I want to see an allegation that's a little beyond it. Like, they overcharged my credit card, which is fraud, credit card fraud. Or they used deception and lured me, and they said that they were going to send me videos, and I got two pictures. And you so see this a lot.
I think more of a common one is that we get people that are like, well, so the scammers are usually out of Nigeria, right? They take our pictures and then they'll take some videos and then they scam these men. And so then they come attack us like, oh, hey, you know, you took me for like up to like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right. They'll be like, your name's really Victoria or something. And you're like, and
it's like, no, it wasn't me. You know, I mean, those I usually just say like, you know, listen, you were scammed, blah, blah, blah. There's an IC, go to IC, FBI, file an IC3 report. You know, you talk to the police department. It wasn't me. I don't really get too concerned about that. I mean, I did have a guy that then accused me of doing something like that was defamatory. And then after I told him, no, you're wrong. That's not the case. This is all the evidence that you're actually saying. And then he still went on to actually like go on social media and say some damaging things that were defamatory that I was doing illegally. So then we had to step back and be like, hold up. And then that, I think, is more of a case when they are saying that you're doing something, I think, illegal. But I think when they're – I don't know how you would
– like if they say you're a prostitute.
And how would you sue somebody – how would you sue somebody that's like – these people don't have money.
Right, and well, I don't want to sue them. I'm just curious because it's just so common in our lives. I wonder what, you know, just like, what is this really? Is this something? Because it is very common.
Yeah.
And some guys do go crazy and they attack you on social media and they go on and on and on and on and on. They create new accounts to come after you. It's like,
that's the one where I encourage people like yourselves who have an identity, a presence, a business, where you have to police your brand. And when it gets to a point where it's not just somebody accusing you of false, but now they're creating fake accounts, they're impersonating you, and they could be defrauding other people. That is where you have to do something. And what you can do is you can get an injunction. You might be able to get the lower tier injunction, which is an injunction against harassment if they're sending you unsolicited mail and spam. But the injunction I'm talking about is to get them to stop.
Right.
They're infringing your IP. They're, you know, you can't do DMCAs. You've done 20 DMCAs. Or in some cases, I've had guys and girls say, I don't know who's leaking my images. I want to find out. And I've had some very successful stories on this where we go in and with the limited budget, we can find out who's behind these anonymous accounts. And it's this kid in Cleveland, Ohio, or it's your neighbor, or, you know, we track them down and we get some money, we get our attorney's fees paid for, and above all else, we get the account shut down.
Yeah. So then, okay. Now this goes back to the original Facebook thing, which Poindexter mentioned this in the beginning about this Facebook group. And this was not a group just dedicated to her or harassing her. It was a mom's group on Facebook that she and I and a couple other moms actually started many years ago and then gave up the admin over time. And now it's this huge group in our community. And, you know, when she was exposed, that group particularly, even some of the admins were in there saying things about her that were factually untrue, right? That could be proven to be false. And so I wonder if those things rise to the level of like, you can do something legally against, I mean, this was in the past, but it's something where, you know, for us was interesting because they were saying things that were defamatory, not true, can be proven not true.
I bet I know what the accusation was because it's probably the most popular one. Does it have to do with engaging in sexual acts for money? Is that what the accusation
was?
That
was one of them.
Okay. Yeah. It's such a popular thing. That, right. I mean, look, if it were me and I'm in your shoes, I'm going to do something about it because my reputation is important to me, you know, and particularly in these smaller groups. I mean, look, sometimes it's just about dollars. Sometimes it's about if my name is tarnished in this group, I will make less money. That's still a legitimate reason. Those are damages.
Right.
In other cases, it's like it's not so much about the money. It's about I want people to really know who I am. I don't want my reputation tarnished.
Right. And that's been the thing for us more than trying to get money out of people. We make plenty of money. We want them to stop doing this and stop saying, you know, harming us by saying this stuff.
And you know what? In cases like particularly for people who are listening to you who are similarly situated, where they're content creators of any sort on OF or other platforms, YouTubers, you would be surprised what a non-dog shit demand letter, a well-written, legitimate demand that itemizes the facts, that tells them, this is why I'm going to come after you. A well-written demand would do. If you know who's doing it and you can send them a direct demand letter, again, legitimate, outlines the law and the facts, you would be surprised how frequently that alone will work and shut people up. Because most people are keyboard warriors. We all have them, right?
Yeah.
A good cease and desist, right?
Yeah. But I've seen, again, I've seen some dinosaur shit cease and desist letters that are three lines long, nothing makes sense, or ChatGPT wrote it.
Right.
You know, download it on the internet.
Oh, gosh. This is why having a good attorney is so important. Like,
it's so critical.
Entertainment attorney, for example, he will be like, no, that's can't do that. Or no, this, you know, he will not. Plus, he just doesn't want to waste his time, which I appreciate. But he's very honest and like, no, you just need to let that go. Like, I had a great divorce attorney, for example, because she told me the truth. He gave me realistic, good advice instead of getting me fired up to go like a shark kind of attorney would. So I really see the value. And I don't think a lot of people even understand that there are really wonderful lawyers that will give you good advice. And sometimes the best advice is you got to let it go.
I couldn't have said it better. I mean, look, this is my profession. It's what I do. I decline cases all the time. People get mad. Oh, right. You don't believe me. What's wrong with my case? And they come back 6 months later, you know, after they've shopped other lawyers, right? And, you know, all these other lawyers are willing to take my case, but I wanted you. And I'm like, listen, I don't want you to pay me even $2,000. I'm not going to take your money.
Right.
I can't help you. And people legitimately get mad.
Yeah, but to me, I'm like, that's a good lawyer. Exactly. Like, and that's one of the things I actually liked about you, like when we first met you years ago, is I'm like, yeah, it's a good lawyer. Any lawyer that's just like, hey, this is, I mean, we have to follow the law, right? I mean, it might not be fair. You might got your feelings hurt. You don't like it. But it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, how can you, it's like, what are the damages? And there's all these different, like, it's not just one thing, right? It's like, it's a whole, it encompasses a lot. But an attorney that's just like, hey, listen, this is, I want to try to stay out of court. Yeah. And because if you can stay out of court, because court just costs everybody money. I mean, and the fact that chances of you actually winning in court are pretty zero.
Especially honestly. Up against a huge company. Like Michael told me before the Meta thing, he's like, we will probably lose this. I have some creative arguments that could be good, but you need to go into this knowing you're going to probably lose. And he gave me a dollar amount. And as we went on, he continued to be honest with me. And that was so valuable because I knew what I was doing. I was trying to basically like put up a good fight, but that was my decision to spend my money that way. It wasn't him filling my head full of, you know, false hopes that, you know, cost me way more money than it should. So I think people need to really think about that. Like, you know, you don't want somebody that's going to fire any thought you have up because most of our ideas are not good and they're not legally sound. So like,
yeah. Well, to me, I look at an attorney and I'm like, I don't know the law. I go to an attorney because they're the expert and I'm going to I'm going to listen to the expert because he's going to give me his expert opinion. Just like I don't go to my mechanic and asking and tell him like how to do his job.
Yeah.
It's so there's so many striking similarities to like cosmetic surgeons where you can botch a lip injection. You can also be the surgeon that says, oh no, your 4-inch lips definitely could use more filler and just do them all day long. Or you could be, you know what? You really don't want to do this because if you have to melt them or take them out, it's painful. It might mess you up. Or, I mean, whatever it is. My point is any professional should give you the range of like your options. Like going back to Nico Ambrosio and, you know, are we dating the same guy? If this guy sat, and I'm going to be very objective here. He sat across from me in my office, came to Scottsdale, flew in. Like a lot of my clients do, they want to meet in person or around a video. I would say this, suck it up. Because you're currently in tax court in litigation. So think about this. His lawyer knew that this tax case was going on. The conviction hadn't happened yet. Okay,
that's ridiculous. I can't believe anybody took his case.
The first thing I do is I ask my client, tell me, are you in litigation? Tell me the skeletons. If you don't tell me skeletons, I don't take your case because I need to know what I'm working with. Because in defamation, you put your reputation at issue. When we put your reputation at issue, the other side gets to ask where the skeletons are buried. So if you come to me, one of the first questions I ask, and I've had some very interesting conversations with everyday people, okay? All the dirt, let's see it. Is it on video? Is it in a text? Is it in a Telegram message? Who knows about it? Your neighbor? Who, what? Everything. And now I'm comfortable. They're comfortable. They're confident. Like I've softened up, you know, I've solidified the weak points. I would have told, hey, Nico, just suck it up and walk away.
Okay. Now, spend your money on your tax court, not
but
this.
Don't you find out that a lot of people lie to their attorneys like all the time. Like they don't tell the truth. And I'm like, how can you get your attorney to represent you if you do not tell them everything?
Right. It's the same as you got to tell your doctor what medications you're taking because you don't want them to do something that's going to kill you because you didn't tell them your meds.
Right. Or I might be
pregnant. Yeah.
Right.
No. Yep. I usually the way it happens in litigation is they bleed it slowly. So they don't overtly lie. Maybe I didn't ask you and you didn't answer straight.
Right.
But you don't tell me something that you probably should have disclosed to me until it comes up in a deposition.
Right.
And I'm looking at you like this while opposing counsel is breathing.
We see that on Law and Order all the time. Like
or suits. That stuff happens. And the worst feeling is a year in a case, and opposing counsel passes a paper across the table, or now with Zoom deposition, puts it on the screen. I'm like, I have never seen that before. What the hell is that? It's got your name on it. Worst feeling ever, especially in these cases that I do, where reputation's everything. I mean,
right.
You just got to be honest. And it's privilege. Look, attorneys and clients get to enjoy one of the strongest relationships, arguably stronger than marital privilege. Okay. Attorney-client privilege. You can keep your attorney from opening his mouth unless you literally say, I'm defrauding Bank of America from $1 billion, or unless you say, I'm killing my neighbor. How do I do it? Very few exceptions to privileged. You know, if you're giving your client advice, tell them, like tell your lawyer, you know, share with them so they can, you know, help equip you. And if you're a good lawyer, you'll use it to your client's advantage.
Very good.
That's good. That's
fascinating.
Hey, so I know you have to go here in a second, but give us a little spiel about what else you guys do there at your law firm.
Yeah, so RM Warner Law. So we're a boutique firm. We all things internet law, all things e-commerce. So imagine you're a content creator, you're an entrepreneur, you're launching a software or tech company. We can do soup to nuts in terms of helping you, right? Launching your business, terms of service, the basic things, incorporating, or maybe you're buying an existing business. We can do all that. The sexier stuff is the stuff we're talking about. The online, you know, defamation, revenge porn, leaks, content creators getting their reputation smeared on YouTube. That's our secret sauce. And we handle cases nationwide. If we have to get into court in a jurisdiction where I'm not licensed, we get local sponsorship. So I've litigated Chicago. I've litigated in upstate New York. I'm in Florida right now. I'm in Southern California, Texas, Nevada. I mean, we're all over. So yeah. And of course we do IP protection, the trademarks, the copyrights, all the easy stuff. We do that too.
Which is really interesting. I think more creators need to start protecting their content and protecting their intellectual property. And I think especially now with AI coming on and, you know, we're seeing in the news how things are getting like, you know, well, with Taylor Swift, sorry, Trace, but I mean, that's a hot topic right now too, right? Where even they're talking at Capitol Hill about even rewriting Section 230, which would be amazing if they could actually get hold and like, you know, maybe start making some of these platforms more responsible for some of the content that is published on their platforms. So, I mean, honestly, I want to have you back on because I think IP is actually such a great topic to talk about that we don't talk about it enough as content creators and how to protect our brands, right? I mean,
We're doing way more than most people are.
Yeah. If you can't protect your brand and you can't protect your content, then I mean, you really have no business being online.
Right.
I have, and to give you a little perspective, I have creators who have 15 to 20 million subscribers on YouTube. And when we talk about, hey, this issue came up, I'm like, what's in your arsenal for protection? It's literally nothing. Now you're behind the wheel, uphill battle. And it's like every relationship starts with protection. That's a weird thing.
Nope, 100%.
It's a double entendre because it's true. You know, you start, you launch into creating content, whatever you're doing, OF or YouTube or e-commerce store, talk to somebody who sees this stuff every day.
Yeah.
And can say for $200, 30-minute consultation, or you know, something more elaborate, give you honest advice on what to do.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So hopefully we can have you back on because there's so much I think we could talk about.
Like, there's a lot
different directions.
This was so great. I learned a lot in this episode.
Like I said, when we started, I'm a super nerd when it comes to stuff. Anything I can get my hands on, I'm reading it. I'm talking to people. So I could talk for hours on all the nitty gritty of the internet and doing business online. So
we just want to give a big thanks to Mr. Muhammad with RM Warner Law. They specialize in online marketing and internet business law. And we had such a great interview with him. Hopefully we'll have him on again to talk about all things intellectual property and maybe some AI stuff. All right, so stay tuned because we have some fun stuff coming up. Our next episode is going to be all things Super Bowl, and the Chiefs are going to win. Sorry to our producer, Matt.
It's a special episode coming out on Friday evening. Yes, it is. And it's going to be a short form just about the Super Bowl. And what are we going to have on there, Tris?
Snacks. Because Yay. We didn't have any snacks this time, and I'm hungry AF right now. So I got snacks sitting in front of me. I didn't get to eat anything. And yes, we will be back with extra snacks probably.
Yay. All right. Thank you. Bye.